Turn your Bibles to Psalm 71, if you will. Psalm 71 and verse 20. We start here this evening. Spend a lot of time in the book of Psalm. But, Psalm 71 and verse 20. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth." Tonight I'd like to look at the subject of quickening. Quicken me, more specifically. There are several statements in the book of Psalms that say that, and we're going to look at those tonight. To quicken me. Here the psalmist is speaking, knowing that God is going to quicken him, he says, and bring him up again from the depths of the earth. But to quicken, it's a word that a lot of times we don't use in the same sense that it's used here. To cut to the quick, you probably are familiar with that phrase. That means you're getting down into the part that feels that you start feeling it, and it makes you notice. And to quicken means to make alive, to revive, or resuscitate, to accelerate, to sharpen, give a keener sense to stimulate or incite, to cheer, to refresh and reinvigorate, become alive. So that's the idea of quicken. So as we look at these instances in the book of Psalms, keep that definition in your mind, especially to refresh, to sharpen, give a keener sense to. And we're going to start with the first one in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we will be in this chapter quite a bit. Psalm 119 and verse 25. The first thing we see is, we need to have the same desire that God would quicken us according to His Word. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy Word." Just some verses here. Verse 50, the same chapter. Psalm 119:50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me." Verse 93. "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." Verse 107. Psalm 119, "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." And verse 154, here he says, "Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word." We're familiar with Psalm 119 and verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And on the Bible goes. Just in this chapter alone, verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." On and on, verse after verse, just in this chapter, we see the focus is on the Word of God, and not just so much on the Word of God, but according to. According to means agreement with, getting in line with thy Word. "Quicken thou me according to thy Word." Go to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Here we see Jeremiah speaking. And he says in verse number 15, he talks about for God's sake he had suffered rebuke. In verse 16 he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah's position was not one I want to be in. It was not a good position. He was on his own against the nation. And God told him that straight up front. He said, "They're not going to listen to you. They're going to fight against you the whole time. But don't worry. Don't fear. Don't stop speaking. I'm with you. I'll give you the strength. But just understand, they're not going to listen." And he suffered a whole lot because of his stand for God. But notice, what was it that refreshed him, that brought him back, that gave him the strength to continue? It was the Word of God. We need to be quickened according to God's Word. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to have the same desire as the psalmist did, that God would quicken us according to His Word. Sadly, though, most of the time we want God to quicken us according to our feelings. We don't want what the Word of God has, according to God's Word. That means God's Word doesn't change to fit your feelings. That means you're the one who changes to line up with God's Word. That's where you get refreshed. That's where you get that sharper, keener sense. That's where you get the invigoration, the refreshment, be made alive according to God's Word. Is our desire to that God would quicken us according to His Word, or do we want God to quicken us according to our feelings? Don't tell me what that says in the Bible. That doesn't make me feel good. I want something that makes me feel good. You need to quicken me according to my feelings. It's not how God works. God works according to His Word. Quicken me according to Thy Word. Are you willing to allow yourself to be brought in line with the Word of God? Quicken thou me according to thy word. There are a lot of verses I have written down on that I did not go to for the sake of time. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear. We need to be quickened according to God's word. The next one is Psalm 119 and verse 37. Psalm 119 and verse 37. Here it says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." And beholding vanity, wow. We don't about have to walk through the world with our eyes closed anymore. "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Quicken thou me in thy way. Back to verse 14, Psalm 119. Here he says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Can we say that of God's word? Verse 27, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Verse number 30, he says here, Psalm 119, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." You can't follow the way of truth and expect God to make you feel good, to pamper your feelings. That's the sign of the last days we live in. Itching ears, people who will turn away from the truth and want to hear what makes them feel good. And that's all they want. They want the candy all the time, 24/7. And that's not the way of truth. Does it not make sense that the worse the world gets, the more the world needs to hear the hard things of God's Word? The more we need to hear it. And yet, the worse the world gets, the less we want to hear it. "Quicken me in thy way, not in my way." Yet that's a lot of what Christianity wants us to think today. You can go your way, and it's okay. You can go your way. God will bless you. It's like the book of Judges when the Danites come to the priest there in Micah's house. And they're totally out of God's will. They really don't care what God thinks, but they go through the motions and they say, "Ask God if our way will be prosperous." He doesn't even go pray. He just turns right around and says, "Oh yeah, yeah, the Lord's with you. Go for it." It's what they want to hear. It's not the truth. And it's definitely not God's way, but it's what they wanted. Is that what we want, or do we, like the psalmist, want the way of truth? "Quicken thou me in thy way," verse 32 and verse 33. "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." On and on the book of Psalms go, but I want to go to Proverbs chapter 6 now. Verse 23, Proverbs 6:23. The Bible says here, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The way of life. The Bible talks a lot about that, but we're not going to go down that way tonight. Proverbs 10, verse 17, it says here, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." In other words, if you're not going to listen, you're not in the way of life. If you're not going to listen to what God's Word says, if you're determined you're going to go your way, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You want to be in the way of life? Then listen to the Word of God and keep the instruction. Keep it. Quicken me in thy way. In thy way, chapter 10 and verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. In Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Quicken thou me in thy way. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You're going to turn out of God's way. You're not going to want the correction. But the very fact that God sends correction shows you that he loves you and cares for you. Quicken thou me in thy way. Jesus said, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Moses in Exodus chapter 33, when he was up in Mount Sinai with the Lord, he asked God and said, show me thy way. He wanted to know that way. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, was our example, that we are to follow in his steps. Do we need to be refreshed in that way, to have a keener sense of the way, Jesus Christ? Or are we more concerned about our way? Quicken thou me in thy way. The next one, Psalm 119 and verse 40. Psalm 119 and verse 40. This one, a lot of Christians seem to have a problem with in these days we live. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Psalm 118 and verse 19. Psalm 118 and verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Psalm 5 and verse 8. If we have a thirst for God, if we have a desire to follow Jesus Christ, then we should have a desire for righteousness. Not to leave it behind, not to forsake it for license, but to embrace it. Psalm 5 and verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way, there it is again, straight before my face. Lead me in thy righteousness. Lead me in thy righteousness. Chapter 31, Psalm 31 and verse 1. The Bible says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. The righteousness of God. Psalm 71 and verse 19. Back to Psalm 71 and verse 19. We just read it at the very beginning. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? The righteousness of God. Do we have that same desire to be quickened in God's righteousness? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, if you'll turn back there, please. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Quicken thou me in thy righteousness. Here we have a command. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive in your righteousness. Have we become numb to the righteousness of God in our daily mundane routine? We're not even concerned about really living for God. We've gotten so wrapped up in all the cares of this world that the righteousness of God really doesn't even penetrate our life anymore. We need to be quickened. The righteousness of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What things? They will be rich, fall into a snare, perverse disputings of men, etc., etc. But he says, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after these things. Have a desire and a thirst for the righteousness of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Paul says here, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. We mentioned verse 21 a moment ago. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. In verse 24 it says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto ourselves?" No. Righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Righteousness, the righteousness of God. Do we have a desire to be quickened in the righteousness of God, or are we staying in our own righteousness? Our own idea of what that is. Our own, quote, interpretation of what that is. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Another one, Psalm 119 and verse 88. Back to Psalm 119 again. Verse number 88. Here he says, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." Verse 159, he says, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." Thy loving kindness. Chapter 138 and verse 2, Psalm 138 and verse number 2. He says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." The loving kindness of God. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Do we need to be reminded of God's loving kindness toward us? In other words, have we become ungrateful? Yes. Yes, we have. Just like Israel, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. The more God gave them, the more they resisted. The more He gave, the less they appreciated. The more He blessed them with, the more determined they were to be unthankful and demand more. That's the sinful nature that we are cursed with. The more that God blesses us, the tendency we have is to demand more. Thankfulness is not natural to us. That's why we see the desire here from the psalmist, make me alive. Refresh my memory, so to speak, about your loving kindness. That were it not for the grace of God, every one of us would spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Were it not for the grace of God, we would not be where we are today. Each one of us can go back over multiple instances in our lives when we just start reminding ourselves of the grace of God, His benefits that He has given to us, the blessings He has poured out in our lives, the things that we, just like Jacob said, are not worthy of the least of them. And yet He has poured out so much and so much. And yet how little do we turn and give thanks? The 10 lepers that were cleansed, only one came back to bother giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we need to be quickened in His loving kindness? Do we need to be reminded, be jolted out of our sleep, so to speak, and start appreciating the loving kindness that God has shown us? Or are we more concerned about, instead of God's loving kindness, our own selfishness? It's never enough. No matter what God will do, there's always something. It's like the circus dog trick. You jump through this hoop. Okay, God, jump through this one. Okay, God, that was impressive, but can you do two at once? That seems to be a lot of people's attitude. Oh, that's impressive, God, like the children of Israel in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but if somebody whacks a big old rock and a bunch of water comes out to satisfy a million plus people and their cattle, that's going to leave a mark in my mind. Or when the earth opens up and swallows up the rebels who challenged the God-appointed leader right in front of you, and they go straight down into hell, and then you come the next day to the man of God, who God proved was the one He said, and you say, "You killed God's people yesterday. That wasn't nice." Selfishness. Complete selfishness. We need to be quickened at the thought of God's loving kindness. Keep it at the forefront of our minds. Keep ourselves reminded of all that He has done. Not to mention all the things that He has done on our behalf we don't even know about. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Just when you get to heaven, if God's going to just show you all of the instances where He had blessed, He had protected, He had intervened to keep you and me from a whole lot of problems that we never even knew about. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, not our selfishness. Psalm 119, verse 149. Psalm 119, verse 149. Here he says, "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness." There he is again. "O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment." Verse 156. "Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments." Verse 66. Psalm 119. Verse 66. He says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." According to thy judgment. Is it our desire to be in line with God's judgment, or is it our desire for God to line up with our judgment? It's a pretty good question. In other words, not my will, but thine be done. Is it going to be God's will or my will? Well, most people would immediately, well, of course it's going to be God's will in my life. God, it's God's will I'm concerned about. I want to do His will. I want to follow it, really. As Paul said, examine yourselves. Do a good search. Do a little computer search on the inside there. And it probably won't take you long to find some areas where it's not God's will that's calling the shots. We need to be refreshed. We need to be invigorated. We need to have a sharper, keener sense of God's will and a willingness to submit to it. Job chapter 40 and verse 8. Here's one reason why. God speaking here, because it is God's will or our will, and based on which one we choose, that shows that we have decided the other one that we did not choose has to be wrong. And God says here, "Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" In other words, we need to stop and think about the seriousness of this decision. This isn't one you just make on a whim. I think I'll do what I want today. We're talking about the God of the universe, the one who spoke all into existence, the one who has all power, the one, as Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but afterwards have no power." The one you should fear is the one who not only can take your physical life, but determine where you spend eternity. That's the one. It's His will. Are we concerned about it? According to thy judgment. God's judgment of the situation, not mine. Well, I've thought it out and I've observed the situation and here's the circumstances and all the variables. And after some precise calculations and quite a bit of time on my part, I think this is the best way to go. That's not yielding to God's judgment because you didn't even ask Him. That was your judgment. Here, the psalmist has the desire that God would quicken him according to God's judgment. With the implication being, whatever God decrees, whatever His judgment is, that's what I will do. Remember last week, like Simon Peter, fishing all night, caught nothing, and Jesus says, "Go out again"? That's the attitude we should have. No matter if it makes sense to me, no matter if I think it's a waste of time, if God said it, it has to be right. It has to be true. And it has to be the best. Therefore, it's God's judgment, not mine. Not mine. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. God says here, "Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Seek judgment. Follow after it. Proverbs again, chapter 1. Proverbs 1. I know all the young people are rolling their eyes right now. "We just went through this for like a year. Come on." Well, line upon line, precept upon precept. Proverbs 1. This is a review. In case you were sleeping. Proverbs 1, verse 3. The reason Solomon wrote this book. "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." Chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, "Then the seeking for wisdom is for silver and hid treasure." He says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." The reason a lot of us don't submit to God's judgment is because we don't have a desire for God's Word. if we would have a desire for God's Word and humble ourselves before it, look at what it says. Then shalt thou understand God's judgment. I mean, Paul said, who can know the mind of God? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the Word of God in black and white. And it tells us at Psalm 119, thou art good and doest good. In other words, you're the one that I listen to. It is your decision, God, that I follow. It is yours. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 28. 1 Kings 3. Here, this is right after Solomon and his famous judgment on the two women who brought the one child in and were arguing over whose it was. And he couldn't get a straight answer, so he told them to divide the child in half and give the half to each one of them. And the real mother, of course, intervened and begged him to just give the child to the other woman, and that's how he knew who the mother was. And it says here in verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Is it God's will or is it my will? Is it the judgment of God or am I the one who presides over the courtroom in my heart? Psalm 143 and verse 11. Another one. Psalm 143 and verse 11. Here the Bible says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Quicken me for thy name's sake. Psalm 23. Most of us have put this to memory at one time or another. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Chapter 25, Psalm 25 and verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 31 and verse 3. Here the psalmist says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Many, many more verses we could look at. For thy name, quicken me. For thy name's sake. In other words, for your honor and glory. Or are we concerned about our name's sake? Again, it comes back to the selfishness problem. Why do we do what we do? Are we concerned about God getting the glory, or are we concerned about us getting the glory? 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. Do we need to be refreshed in that area and be reminded that we're not here for us, we're here for Jesus? 1 Samuel 12 and verse 22. Samuel reassuring the children of Israel, you have done this wickedness, but he says, don't turn aside. He says in verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. We don't have time to do it, but you go through the Old Testament, even after Israel and Judah turned against God and God had to bring captivity in. What did he tell them over in Ezekiel especially? He said, I will bring you back. I will keep my word. It's not because you're nice boys and girls. It's not because you've been good. Frankly, you don't deserve it. But I will bring you back for my name's sake. God has made it clear he will not give his glory unto another. He won't do it. I mean, we saw that in Leviticus chapter 10. When they established the tabernacle and God's presence came in, what happened to Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu? In the goodness of their heart, good intentions, they offered their own spur-of-the-moment praise to God. And they got consumed. Because God made it clear, I won't give my glory to another. It cannot be. And we need to be very careful that we don't have that same desire slip into our lives to where we want the glory, we want the attention, we want the praise, instead of God getting the praise. It's a dangerous thing. For thy name's sake. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. You go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Something else we need to remember. Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "Ye shall be hated of all men." Why? For my name's sake. There are going to be things that we have to endure and suffer for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ. Chapter 19 and verse 29. Jesus tells us here, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." It is everything we are to do is for the glory of God. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do we need to be quickened after His name's sake? Do we need to be reminded of how important it is? John chapter 15 and verse 21. John 15 and verse 21. "Quicken me for thy name's sake." Here he says again, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Why do we suffer? Why do we go through this? Look, God has made it very clear to us if we will just stop and read what he said. Just like Jeremiah, he has made it clear, he has told us, you're going to suffer if you follow me. You will suffer for my name's sake. But if we have truly humbled ourselves before God, that's not going to be a problem for us. If it is a problem, maybe we need to be quickened for his name's sake. We see something else about being quickened in the Bible, and that's pretty clear. Quickening cannot happen through the flesh. Cannot happen. Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's where quickening comes. Romans chapter 4. In other words, we're not going to do this on our own. Turning over a new leaf is not being quickened. Nice intentions, and it's not a bad thing, but it's not going to bring quickening. Like that's kind of like, you know, setting some food out for roadkill. Good intentions, it's not going to accomplish anything. It's way past reviving with that type of thing. It's you're going to need something supernatural in order for that to happen. It can't come through the flesh. Romans 4, verse 17. Here the Bible says about Abraham, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were." Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 11. Here he says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." It is God that quickens. It is the Spirit that quickens. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. Cannot be through the flesh. Here Paul reminds us, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 13, Paul talks about, "Charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead." And then 1 Peter 3, if you'll turn back there, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says here, "For Christ also," speaking in verse 17, "if the will of God be so, it's better that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And he says in verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Quickened by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2. If you'll turn there, Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 5. Paul says here, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Quickening does not come through the flesh. It's impossible. It can only come through the Spirit. God is the only one who can quicken and make alive. And the last point we want to look at tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 36. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 36. Paul is responding to those who do not believe in the resurrection and how can the dead be raised up. And here in verse 36, he gives us the key to how we can be quickened in these areas. He says here, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." You're not going to be quickened until self dies. Self has to die. Self has to die. Again, another point we all immediately agree with, we have no problem with, and yet how many areas in our lives is that not the case? Self has simply not been put to death. Self is still alive and well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11. Paul says here, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." If we're spending our time in the flesh, if we're focused on the flesh, and if we're living for the flesh, we're not going to have spiritual victory. It's not going to work. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You can't walk in the flesh and have victory in the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. That means you starve the flesh. That means self has to... Galatians chapter 6. Look what Paul says here. Galatians 6 and verse 14. He's warning about those who glory in the flesh. And he says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Crucified means there is no more relationship. It's done. You talk about burning your bridges, that's crucified. And Paul said, "The world is crucified to me, and I am crucified unto the world." In other words, they know who I am. They don't want to be around me. Because I want to follow Jesus Christ. I don't want anything to do with them, and the world doesn't want anything to do with me. That's not possible if you're going to live in the flesh. That's not crucified to the world. That's getting sustenance from the world. The relationship is still there. In the world, yes, but not of the world. Big difference. Paul makes that clear here. Philippians chapter 1. Remember what he said here? Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. He said, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body." I wish the world would get this and stop magnifying their bodies. That's all it is anymore. It's just a magnifying of the body. That's not, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and that's what you live for, God help you. You need to repent. You need to repent. It is not about the flesh. Paul says here, "Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." John chapter 12, and verse 24. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Jesus says here, Verse 23, he says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And in verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The corn has to die in order for the plant to grow and produce more fruit. That's how it is. And notice he says, if it doesn't die, it abideth alone. If you compare that with John chapter 15, Jesus said in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. It's not the other way around, world. That's how they want it. They're the vine, and God and Jesus are branches that every Sunday or whatever they can use now and then. But there's the center of their life is them. That's not how it's supposed to be. God, Jesus Christ, is the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Is that our desire? Is it our desire even when what we see when we read God's word or what we hear when it is preached cuts us to the thoughts and intents of our heart, exposes the sin and the wrong that we know should not be there? Do we have the same desire? Like the psalmist, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy precepts, thy statutes, thy judgments. Is that our desire? Or are we just, as long as it makes me feel good, I want it. But until it exposes something, until it sheds light on something I don't want light shed on, etc., etc., no, I don't want it. I want to hear it. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Is it going to be God's way or my way? Has it been your way for quite some time now? Do you have any desire at all to get back into the way, following the steps of your Savior? Footsteps of Jesus make the pathway glow. How about his righteousness? Do you have a thirst for it? Do you have a desire? The psalmist talks about his thirst for the righteousness of God, the beauty of God's holiness. I mean, that's why he saved us. He saved us from sin, from wickedness. Do we not long to have that glory in eternity, free from sin? Or are we perfectly content while we're here to just get all we can, live it up? Are we taking God for granted? The more He gives, the more we demand. The more He blesses, the more unsatisfied we are, the more unthankful we become. Maybe we need to be refreshed, quickened after His loving kindness, His judgment, His will in our life. And is it God's glory, or am I doing what I'm doing for my glory? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Quicken thou me. That should be our desire, that God would do a work in our hearts. We need God to work in our hearts. Yes, we need God to work in our world. We need God to work in our nation. We need God to work in our communities. We need God to work in our church, but we need God to work in our individual hearts. We need to have this desire that the psalmist had. Quicken me, O God. This isn't about I'm going to make a determination, I'm going to get a list of things I'm going to do, and I'm going to know. This is humbling ourselves before God, saying, God, I can't fix this, but I want you. Quicken me. Work in my heart. May it be our desire as well. Maybe you're listening to us tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Do you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? The Bible makes it clear. Jesus is the way. And without Him, you'll never get there. You can't save yourself. It's not possible through the flesh. But it is possible through Jesus Christ. confess your sin, repent, ask Christ to save you, and the Bible says He will. And you will find God is true. He is real. And that heaven will be your home for eternity. Christian, is the Lord dealing with you about some area in your life? If He is, will you let Him work? Let Him work. Father in heaven, please work in our hearts. Do a work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to have that desire that You would quicken us, that You would give us a keener sense, a sharper sense of the things of Your Word, the things of Christ. Help us, O Lord. We need it. We need it desperately. We are helpless. That's why we turn to Thee. Father in heaven, do a work in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Turn to page